Well, this is the month of October, that changeable month where you never know what you're going to get. So 1 minute it's raining and the next minute the sun comes out. So we're grateful for that. So may it be so in Indiana as well. This has been a really strange week, and we've lost a really good friend in Kansas that we just went to visit. And he was doing great while we were there and doing all these things. And then a brain aneurysm took him away from us and took him to heaven. So heaven is richer, and we are not. And so I was saying to Sue, it's been kind of shades of January when we went to visit my brother in Canada. And then the next week we went back for a funeral. We just did that with Jim Brown, and now we're going back next weekend, and I've been asked to speak at the funeral. So just you never know what life brings you. And so, but it'll be a glorious celebration as well for a life well lived, 89 years old. So grateful for the opportunity to share and to hug some necks of a family who are missing. Especially his now widow, who will be missing him after 61 years of
Oh
marriage.
my.
So, yeah, kind of a strange time. And so we are looking forward to being with them, though, and sharing in that. And so this morning, I want us to just take some time to, again, reorient our hearts, because we've been inundated with bad news all week long. And it just seems to continue, and there are so many different attitudes and things being written and whatever, and we just need to be recentered to remember whose we are, and I think that's going to be a helpful thing for us. And so just calling today's message Gold Medal Hope. So let me read this paragraph as we join in with the First Peter chapter 1 this morning. The beaming smile of gold medal-winning Olympians on the podium is not the picture immediately following the win. At that moment, they're physically spent, sweating, heart pounding, muscles all screaming in unison. They're simultaneously laughing with relief and crying from release of pent-up emotional energy. They've pushed and trained and dieted and buffeted their bodies, all for this glorious moment. They've arrived. Hope has achieved for them a gold medal. And so it is for us. Our hope in Christ is not a disappointing fantasy, because we can now experience the endless love of God cascading into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who lives in us. And so our eyes focus easily and probably too often on the natural, on what strength we've got, what abilities we've got, how life has been treating us, and how the world seems to be going. And when we do that, it's easy then to forget all that we've been promised, all that salvation offers us. And so, as I mentioned in the note yesterday or Thursday or yesterday, I guess, and just that we are, as Jesus said, we are in the world, but we're not of it. Such a strange combination, isn't it? We are fully in the world. We're born as tiny babies, as is happening at this very moment for Horace and Amelia's 13th grandchild. And but we die as elderly people as well, as our friend Jim Brown has just done. So everything we experience is in the natural in some ways, and yet we've been invited, we've been transferred into a divine life, into a holy existence, all because of who God is and what God has done in us through the sacrifice and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's our hope. It's a gold medal hope. At the end of our lives, we will receive the crown, that hope that does not disappoint us. So let me read 1 Peter 1, the first 16 verses from the Passion Translation, and then let's look at it a little closer here this morning. From Peter, an apostle of Jesus, the anointed one, to the chosen ones who have been scattered abroad like seed into the nations living as refugees, to those living in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, and throughout the Roman provinces of Asia and Bithynia, you are not forgotten, for you've been chosen and destined by Father God. The Holy Spirit has set you apart to be God's holy ones, obedient followers of Jesus Christ, who have been gloriously sprinkled with his blood. May God's delightful grace and peace cascade over you many times over. Celebrate with praises the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has shown us his extravagant mercy. For his fountain of mercy has given us a new life. We are reborn to experience a living, energetic hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. We are reborn into a perfect inheritance that can never perish, never be defiled, and never diminish. It is promised and preserved forever in the heavenly realm for you. Through our faith, the mighty power of God constantly guards us until our full salvation is ready to be revealed in the last time. May the thought of this cause you to jump for joy, even though lately you've had to put up with the griefs of many trials. But these only reveal the sterling core of your faith, which is far more valuable than gold that perishes, for even gold is refined by fire. Your authentic faith will result in even more praise, glory, and honor when Jesus, the Anointed One, is revealed. You love him passionately, although you did not see him, but through believing in him, you are saturated with ecstatic joy, indescribably sublime and immersed in glory. For you are reaping the harvest of your faith, the full salvation promised you, your soul's victory. This salvation was the focus of the prophets, who prophesied that this outpouring of grace was destined for you. They made a careful search and investigation of the meaning of their God-given prophecies as they probed into the mysteries of who would fulfill them and the time period when it would all take place. The Spirit of the Anointed One was in them and was pointing prophetically to the sufferings that Christ was destined to suffer and the glories that would be released afterward. God revealed to the prophets that their ministry was not for their own benefit, but for yours. And now you have heard these things from the evangelist who preached the gospel to you through the power of the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, the gospel containing wonderful mysteries that even the angels long to get a glimpse of. So then, prepare your hearts and minds for action. Stay alert and fix your hope firmly on the marvelous grace that is coming to you. For when Jesus Christ is unveiled, a greater measure of grace will be released to you. As God's obedient children, never again shape your lives by the desires that you followed when you didn't know better. Instead, shape your lives to become like the Holy One who called you. For Scripture says, you are to be holy because I am holy. I love how Peter has been transformed from those early days of his experience with Jesus as one of the disciples who often was suffering from foot and mouth disease, kind of like speaking before he thought and just in his energy and whatever. And yet here is the same energy, but can you feel how it's been channeled? How it's been channeled into, I can never forget what has happened to me.
Right.
Through all these years, what Peter has done, what Peter has experienced is truly life-changing for him. And the confidence that he writes with here is so beautiful. And certainly he's writing to people who are, as he says, dealing with grief of all kinds for the moment. And so he's encouraging them in this, and he's speaking of the hope that is theirs. So if we look back in verses 1-4, your blank there, if you're filling in blanks, each one of the blanks you'll notice ends with an exclamation mark, because yes. I think This deserves an exclamation mark. So I put one in for you. So the blank is hope includes us, and you can underline in the word includes. Hope includes us. That deserves an exclamation mark.
Yes.
So what Peter is reminding, and I think it's interesting that they use the word, these ones who've been scattered as seed among the nations because of the persecution. And he says to them that they are like refugees living in all this. Isn't it amazing? 21 centuries later, we have refugees in so many parts of the world, still fleeing persecution, still trying to make life work. And so he tells them this, you are not forgotten. You have been chosen. This salvation that you've experienced is not something that is here today and gone tomorrow. Like the flowers of the field, you've been chosen. You are in Christ now. This is something you can celebrate. Your hope is fixed. And we have been, as he says, gloriously sprinkled with his blood. And then may God's delightful grace and peace cascade over you many times over. So hope includes us. The joy of knowing that as we look at ourselves in the mirror each morning or whenever it is that we finally look into a mirror, you know, it's easy then to go back to thinking natural. And it's like, whoa, you know, especially if you, you know, you have bedhead and all kinds of other things and it's looking a little wonky and in the morning and you think, so we think natural. We think, wow, we're really aging or I'm really tired or look at these bags under my eyes and all these things. And yet, at the same time, if we had these verses written on our mirrors, wouldn't it shift us back to the holy, shift us back to divine, shift us back to being those who've been chosen by God Almighty, who delights in us, which in itself is, some days especially, a real stretch for us to think about, isn't it? God delights in us.
Yeah.
And yet there are so many scriptures that point to that, that his love never changes. There's not even a shadow of turning in him. So regardless of how bad we've been, there's great love for us and a desire for us to come back to him. And so in verse 4, they say, we are reborn into a perfect inheritance. Perfect, that means nothing is lacking, that can never perish, that can never be defiled, and can never be diminished. You know, that verse 4, and then he says at the end of that verse 4, it's preserved and promised forever in the heavenly realm. So we have a hope that is not something that we've cooked up on our own. This is something we've found a way to derived from something. It's God given. It's a pure gift, part of our salvation that God has given us. So hope includes us.
Yes.
Verses 5 through 9, and let's fill in the blank. Hope until our arrival at full salvation. Our arrival at full salvation. This hope goes all the way through to the end of the age. And full salvation, I think is, I used to be surprised when someone would indicate full salvation as in, you mean there's a partial salvation? But what it's referring to is the fact that we come, we're the imperfect part.
Yeah.
We're the ones who need to grow into these things. And then I was really taken in verse 7 when he says, the grief, these things only reveal the sterling core of your faith, which is far more valuable than gold that perishes, for even gold is refined by fire. And so I had this idea, like, I wonder what the melting point is of gold when they have to melt it down. So I looked it up and found it, you know, it's on Google, so it must be right. It says that the melting point of gold is 1,943 degrees Fahrenheit.
Oh.
And it's one of the highest melting points of any metal. So I'm sorry for those of you who think in Celsius, I forgot to write that down. So, but it's 1,943 degrees Fahrenheit. And some would even ask, you know, would it be possible to melt gold down at home? And the response was, well, you'd probably burn your whole house down in the process. So probably not too advisable. But I think that's exciting to think that our faith is like gold that needs to be melted down. And so there's great heat that's necessary in order to melt it down, which gets rid of the impurities, of course. And so I think the griefs, the difficulties, the living in this natural world and dealing with the natural consequences of our natural bodies aging and all those wonderful things that we get to experience, it's part of the purifying and the making us understand more fully, move into our experience of salvation. We are given salvation, but then we move into it as well. You know, and it's kind of like, you know, marriage. And I've been thinking about this week, our friends Jim and Joanne, 61 years. You know, you get married, you're fully married. But in 61 years of marriage, you grow to understand one another, the good and the bad, the exciting and the not so exciting. And so we grow into it. And we're, I guess we could say, we're more fully married at the end of 50, 60 years than we were the day we got married. And so it's that. And so it is hope until our arrival at full salvation. So again, our friend's full salvation was October 12th, 2023. That was the fullest part, and then he was taken home. So full salvation, how exciting to know that God is still working in us, not against us, not just to frustrate us, not just to put us off track, but to refine us. There is a refining going on, the refiner's fire that we talk about and used to sing in an old vineyard song. So even gold is refined by fire. Your authentic faith will result in even more praise, glory, and honor when Jesus, the Anointed One, is revealed. Because Jesus himself went through fire, didn't he? In a way, his crucifixion was probably the hardest thing to deal with. And so we have this hope that keeps going, keeps growing, keeps getting richer. And so instead of having this attitude when bad things happen, you know, the woe is me, which none of you have, I'm sure none of you have that tendency. But some of us have a tendency to think, woe is me, when bad things happen. And, you know, instead of saying, God is working here, God is at work. And he's doing his work. And maybe it's a little bit like when we have a fever, and it's because our body is working to fight off whatever it is that's invading us. And that's probably not medically too accurate, but it seems like it could be something like that. In verses 10 through 12, the blank in number 3 is hope in outpouring of grace on us. Outpouring of grace on us. That also deserves that exclamation mark. So it's hope in outpouring of grace on us. Again, when our eyes are fixed on the natural world, it's easy to overlook or not recognize at all that there is grace being poured out on us. But if we're paying attention, if we're listening, if we're leaning into this relationship with Jesus, if we're searching his word, if we're spending time trying to work out a relationship and make it richer, we're a lot more sensitive to those outpourings of grace. As I look back, I can, in my own story, I can see so many examples of where God's grace just like I didn't deserve this. I didn't do anything to deserve this. And yet he did this for me. He made it possible. He made a way. He opened a door. Sometimes grace is he closed the door. But it's that, this hope. So every time we recognize that there's been an outpouring of grace on us as followers of Jesus, we need to recognize that that's evidence again of this hope that is not just a passing fantasy. It's something that God has placed in us and wants us to arrive at the finish line. He wants us to stand on that podium with a gold medal. We will arrive. And then verses 13 through 16, near the end of our reading here today, the blanket number four is hope of our becoming holy. Now, that sometimes causes our eyes to roll, doesn't it? Like, you've got to be kidding. But what our holiness is part of this growing in faith, this growing to full salvation. And it's when it says here, verse 13, stay alert and fix your hope firmly on the marvelous grace that is coming to you. Again, I think our old self and our new self, our real self, are in conflict, and we easily switch back to the old, back to the natural, back to what I can figure out on my own, what makes sense to me in the natural. But if we fix our hope firmly on the marvelous grace that is coming to us, it changes everything. And then he says, Peter says, for when Jesus Christ is revealed or unveiled, a greater measure of grace will be released to you. Shape your lives to become like the Holy One who called you. Scripture says, you are to be holy because I am holy. I never liked that verse for many, many years because it seemed like, man, that is one impossible charge. Be holy like God is holy. Like, you know, and in my cynicism in the early days, it was like that's ever going to happen. But what I see now is God is at work. He's refining our faith. He's bringing us through these things. He's teaching us. He's bringing us closer to his heart. And when Peter is saying this, shape your lives to become like the Holy One who called you, for Scripture says you are to be holy because I am holy. This is God's plan. But guess what? God's plan is always accompanied by his provision. So God is making this possible. And holiness doesn't mean every time you walk into a room, everyone falls out because this white aura is shining around us. Yeah, now that's not going to happen. But we do recognize when we're in the presence of one who is in the presence of Jesus.
Yes.
When we're with other believers, that's what happens. Even if we're with believers for the very first time, we've never met them before, and we sense there's something there. This is not just someone. This is someone who's in contact, whose life has been and is being transformed by the presence of Jesus. And so Jesus is doing the work. His Spirit in us is transforming us. Every time we fall, every time we make a mistake, every time we deliberately go off and sin because it just feels like that's what we should be doing, he's always there waiting for us to come back. And we're always reminded of the passage in 1 John. If we confess our sins, he is what? Faithful to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You're to be holy. We are all in the process of becoming holy. Holiness looks different in each of us. And we experience holiness differently, each one of us. But God's plan is for our hope not to be a disappointing fantasy, as Romans 5 verse saying, because we can now experience the endless love of God cascading into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who lives in us. Wow. I don't think there's much more beautiful information than we can get than these verses here out of 1 Peter. And just at the end of the page, I've just included a quote from R.C. Sproul, whom maybe some of you have read. And he says, "Hope is not simply a wish. Rather, it is that which latches on to the certainty of the promises of the future that God has made." And so I think what we have here, what God experience, what God wants us to experience is the fullness of our salvation, every aspect of it. His working through us, his words of prophecy that come through, the encouragements, the cascading of God's grace and his love on us on our daily basis. We are blessed people.
Yes.
And the circumstances of the natural world that have been somewhat crowding into our hearts and our souls this past week, those events don't negate what God has given us in salvation. And so we are strong, we're secure in what God has done for us. And so I just want to remind us of this amazing work that God has done, that this is a gold medal hope. And when we finish our race, it will be a gold medal hope that accompanies that. That's the proof of his love for us as we make our way through. So I want to encourage us with this word this morning under 1 Peter. And so I want to pray for us. And then obviously we're going to take some time to share. Thank you so much for all your amazing sharing each week. It really is helpful to not just get my voice, but it's also great to get information and sharing back and forth. So let me pray for us and then we'll do some sharing together. Father, just thank you. Thank you for the power and the simplicity of your word, that you call us as children. You don't call us all to be theologians and academics in this. You call us to be children, to accept what you've given us simply like a child. So I bless you for these words from Peter, from this translation. Thank you for the encouragement that you are at work in us. You never leave us or forsake us. You're with us to the very end of the age. And this hope that you speak of, you as the God of all hope, it's not a disappointing fantasy. We're not going to wake up someday and find that it doesn't work. We're going to find out that it's gold medal hope. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your spirit working in us. And thank you for this time of sharing now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Yeah.